Good morning. Are you all that sleepy? My name is Corey Roth. I'm from Houston, Texas, so don't mind the accent. Yes, we really do have people that wear cowboy hats and boots and stuff, but I am not one of them. Today we'll be talking a little bit about SharePoint, specifically SharePoint Online. We're talking about search when it comes to that, and it's one of the topics I'm particularly passionate about. Everything you learned here today will actually apply to both your on-premises installation, so if you're using SharePoint 2010, you'll be able to use that as well as in the cloud. Who here is actually running off the cloud right now? We're using Office 365? A few people? All right. Who's, the rest of you are thinking about it, or? All right. So I'll have to ask, y'all are going to have to interact with me a little bit, so we're going to have to have a lively conversation here. So we're going to talk about some various challenges we have with search, how we can get by them. We'll start off demoing pretty light. We're going to do some out-of-the-box customizations. And then we're going to get into some code and interact with search through a Silverlight application. So if there's developers in the room, that'll be for you. The IT pros can walk out then if you want. That's fine. So what are some challenges that we kind of get with search, right? You have too many results, can't find anything. Who here says their search actually works well right now? One person, two person? Pretty common, right? Probably one number one complaint is that search doesn't work, right? So we'll teach you some tips to help make it a little better. We'll teach you some things that you can use as a power user to write better queries that you can then teach your end users if you want. Or you can teach them to your developers and leverage those same techniques to write custom applications. So let's talk about what we're going to be covering today. So we'll get a quick overview of search in SharePoint Online. Then we're going to get right into how we can query search and write better queries and do cool things with it. Then we'll talk about customizing the out-of-box interface for search, the various web parts that make up the Search Center. And then we're going to look at how we can extend search so that we can query it from another application. Because just because you're running in SharePoint doesn't mean you can't query this data elsewhere, whether you're on-premises or off. And then lastly, we'll cover how to enable search on public-facing websites in a quick demo. So if you happen to be using the public-facing site collection on SharePoint Online, this will be for you because search isn't enabled, out of the box. So coming out of this session, you'll be a little more familiar with, how search works in SharePoint Online, how you configure it. We'll learn how to write cool, advanced keyword queries that really have custom payload search results. We'll do some out-of-the-box customizations to web parts in the Search Center. You'll learn how to use the Search Web Service from the Silverlight application. And hopefully, after this session, you'll be able to get more out of search than you do today. Hopefully, you'll be able to go back next week, use a couple of these tips you picked up, and do some better queries. So, how is search different in SharePoint Online? Well, it just really works, right? There's really no configuration you have to do because they set it all up for you. When your tenant's provisioned, goes out there, and the search indexer starts indexing your content, and roughly every 5 minutes, your content should be showing up in the index, which is probably better than a lot of you get on-premises, I'm guessing. Now, it's not always 5 minutes. Don't. But that's the goal, right? What makes it different is there's no access to the concept of a search service application. So that's where in SharePoint 2010 you were going and configuring your content sources and your managed properties. Well, that's not there. So that is one little limitation, but there's still quite a bit that you see that we can do because there's a lot of stuff kind of pre-configured for us that we can take advantage of. So we're just going to jump into a quick demo. take a look at search. And like I said, we're going to start off light, and then we're going to get deeper and deeper as we go through the talk. So here is, you know, typical out-of-the-box SharePoint Online site, right? Nothing special. It's just a team site, right? We're going to go take a look at this. It's just kind of a foundation. So I'm going to jump over to a Search Center, which you're probably familiar with. And hopefully, you know, I have better luck than some of the other people did, because I understand the internet was out earlier this week. So that makes someone giving a SharePoint Online talk always makes them a little nervous. But it's been good to me so far today. So what we're going to do is I'm going to look for some documents, and I'm looking for some sales proposals. So I'm just going to do a quick query. You're like, okay, yeah, I know how to do a query. But I just want to point some of the key things out here, because we're going to be talking on them and expanding on them here as we go through the talk. So first thing to notice is you get, you know, a set of documents. Over to the right, we have a federated query that goes out and queries PeopleSearch. And so I happen to pick up the fact that my vice president of sales has that in his title, right? So it picks that up. And then we have standard refinement that, you know, we get kind of out of the box, right? So, you know, if we want just Word documents, we can click on that. We go from 88 results down to 9. So what we'll see later is how we're going to add some stuff to this page and how we can configure some of the properties. But I want to set this as a base so you kind of understand where we're starting and where we're kind of going. So we're going to talk about how to make, you know, queries better. We can do that, you know, just by knowing the right query, right? And then there's this concept of scopes that we're going to talk about, which allows you to, you know, configure a pre-configured subset of results before you ever even issue the query. So if you just want documents from the IT department, or if you just want, you know, invoices, you can set up scopes like that and give them to your users so they can pick it from a drop-down list, whether it's on the master page or on the search center. We'll show how to configure that here in a little bit, that they can take advantage of. And then there's things like best bets, which give you the ability to flag results as important, kind of manually. So it's basically a manual search index. So if somebody searches for the latest quality and safety alert, you can say, here it is. It's always there. So it's something, you know, you as an administrator can help kind of seed results and make them better. Here's where stuff kind of gets cool if you're interested in how to write better queries. So SharePoint Online also uses what's called the keyword query syntax. This is the same syntax that SharePoint 2010 uses, and it's kind of a derivative of what was around in 2007. In 2010, we got the wildcard operator. Does anyone use it back in 2007 have issues with that? Anyone familiar with that issue? So some of you, in 2007, you actually could not do wildcard queries, which drove end users nuts when they were trying to do searches like this. So in this example here, now with the wildcard operator, I can do like account with an asterisk following it, and it'll find everything from accounting to accountants to accounts, you know, any kind of, you know, form of that word that starts with it. So it's very powerful, and it's a good thing to teach your users, you know, when they're having trouble finding results. Very common if they're looking for maybe, you know, a part number or, you know, part of something, you know, a product number. Very good for something like that when they only know part of it, you know. Good thing to use. In 2010, we also got operators. Operators let us do comparisons. So things like greater than and equal, you know. And it's highly useful for comparing to dates or numbers, so like a file size. You want to say, hey, show me all the file sizes that are bigger than 100K. This is how we do it. I'll actually demo some of that here in a little bit. The example I have here is a special keyword that's included out of the box called write. And what that actually translates to is the modified date of the document. So in this case, I can do write is greater than equal 1/1/2011. It is culture specific, so us Americans, you know, due dates completely different to everybody else, of course. So, but it will, you know, recognize that. So the key thing to remember there is there's no spaces between any of that. So when you're typing it in, don't put any spaces in. There's a couple other useful managed properties that are built in, like author and title. So author lets you query by the author of the document, obviously, right? But that could be the name that was actually stored in, you know, the view that was actually uploaded, right? So it could be the user that uploaded it. But it could also be whatever name was in the document's properties, like in the metadata inside, you know, Office. So it'll also pick that up as well. Title is another useful one when you just want to search the title of a document, the contents. So it'll just pick up the title. If you don't want to go into like the actual, you know, full text index, it's a good way to just say, find this. Don't look inside the full text index. Here's kind of a summary slide that kind of shows all these together. A few extra ones. We talked about author. Site is also very useful. So if you know a URL and you just want to limit your search results to that URL, so that could be to a subsite, a folder, a document library, right? You can use that with the site keyword. We covered title and write. And then the other one that's highly useful is document. I encourage you to use this one often because it's very good at really filtering out results. So it'll strip out pages and things like that, and you'll just get documents. So you do is document colon 1, and you only get documents. You can also do colon 0 if you want to do the inverse of that, of course. With scopes, it allows us to limit the results before the user actually does it. Now here's where things get a bit different, because we're in SharePoint Online. On SharePoint 2010, we could write scopes against what's called a managed property, and things like write and title are managed properties that are built in. But in 2010, you can actually, you know, create your own. So if you have a part number or something like that, you know, in your search index, you can actually create that and search on it in 2010, right? So since we don't have access to the service application, we can't create managed properties, so therefore we can't also create scopes based on managed properties. That makes sense. But we can do things like the folder, the host name, the subdomain, things like that. So it's very good for setting up search results to limit to like a document library or a particular subsite. Where you use them is what's called a scope display group. And what you basically have the ability to do is, you might have seen a drop down like on your master page that has like, you know, the context specific search and says this site, and maybe it says, you know, all sites, people. So you can create your own and put them in that list as well. You can also create your own and put them in the search center. We'll talk about display groups when we actually go through that and how you kind of configure them. So we're going to go through another couple examples where we're actually demoing some various ways to query things. And first we're going to start off on a more customized site. So some of you may have seen this before in some of these SharePoint Online talks. This is the Fabricam demo site, and basically it's kind of here to show off that, hey, you can actually do quite a bit of customization to a SharePoint site online, change the way it looks, right? We got, you know, the rotating stuff. We have custom navigation, things like that. This is actually available online. You can actually, if you search for the Fabricam on SharePoint Online site, you can actually go get this and install it yourself if you want to do a quick proof of concept, right? Anyhow, the point I'm showing here is because this is a good point for us to actually start talking about how we can search. So I'm going to start here. Again, I talked about the scopes. This is a drop-down list, and we'll show how we're going to do stuff with this drop-down list. But for now, I'm going to choose that I want all sites. And then I'm going to start by looking for some documents written by Mark. So what I did is I typed in author, colon, and then in quotes, I put the word Mark. Now, quotes aren't required. It's just if you have a space in it, the name, you have to have the quotes, right? So I just kind of get in the habit, and I always use them, but you can leave them out if you don't want. So I'm going to go ahead and submit my query, and I get one result. So that's all right, you know. But, you know, you don't have to use a first name. You can use a last name as well, right? So I'm going to look at documents I wrote, and I wrote a lot of documents, right? And you could also do the full name, right? So I could add my full name, and I get the same results. So good way to, you know, when you know that person in accounting wrote that policy and you know that's the document, you use the author keyword. Maybe you can, you know, filter your search results before you ever even start, right? Now what's kind of interesting is you can start combining things, right? So if we jump over, we add is document. We have 320 results now, but when we do this, we'll go down. Now we have 42. So now I'm just seeing the documents I wrote. So you could append these things together. And then you can also stitch them with or and if you want, like, you know, more fancy conditionals, right? So now let's look at how we get documents by date. So I'm going to use, oops, let's clear that out. I'm going to do the right keyword. And again, I'm going to do greater than equal. Again, there's no spaces. And I'm configured for the US, so I'll do our format. And now I get, you know, results written by that date. And so you could actually combine this. So you could also have a greater than equal, and you could do another one if you wanted to, you know, do a date range, right, with the and keyword. So it's highly useful when you want to, you know, restrict things down by a particular date range. The next keyword we'll talk about is title. So in this case, I know I have, I'm looking for a business development plan, but, you know, I want the business development plan. I don't want the memo between the vice president and sales talking about the business development plan. I just want the business development plan. So it's a good way to target your exact results and not use the full text index. So if I just type in title colon business development, you see it hits and I get, you know, the exact result I'm looking for. So another good way that you can use out of the box to, you know, really filter down some of the results you get. Now the last one I'll do is a little more involved. It's using a site. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a particular site we have. I'm going to go over to our IT website. So here's a great looking site. And I want to just see what's on the site. You know, I'm not sure what's out there. I really want to just get a list of everything there, right? So what I can do is I can copy the URL minus, you know, the page library. So I'm basically going to grab the whole URL up to IT web. I'm going to jump back over to my search center. I'm going to do site colon. I'm going to paste that in. And then I get everything that's on the site. So it's a good way to really, if you're doing, you know, some kind of discovery operation or as a administrator, you're trying to troubleshoot when somebody says they can't find something. It's a good way to see everything that's out there. Another trick that you can also use if you want to see the entire index is using the percent sign. So if you hit the percent sign, you see now I've returned every single thing that's in the search index, 1,100 results in my case. This will work with SharePoint 2010. It'll work in SharePoint Online. It will not work in Fast. So if you're using Fast Search for SharePoint, it does not work. But you can use it everywhere else. So those are some good ways to do some interesting queries, right? What we'll show you now is how we can do some scopes and set those up. So I'm going to jump back over to our Fabricam site. And we'll go to site settings. And scopes in SharePoint Online can only be managed at site collection level. So unfortunately what that means is if you make one here and you have other site collections, you have to duplicate your effort. But you can do some cool things and allows you to, you know, segment things. So in this case, I clicked on the scopes, the search scopes link in the site settings menu, and I get this list of all the scopes. And by default, you're going to have all sites and people. That's what you're going to have. In my case, I created a custom one called IT Documents. We'll just click on that so you see what it is. It's using that kind of the same technique that we were using earlier. So in this case, I'm saying, give me a folder of everything underneath that URL. So when I use this particular keyword, it will give me only those results. Let me show you an example of what that looks like in search. So So I will go back to our search center. And A, I've added it to this document, this drop-down list here, which I'll show you how we do in a second. But let me just go over to our search center again, and I'm going to issue a new query called scope. And scope allows you to specify that scope directly. So I can do scope, IT documents, kind of like the same syntax we've been using before. And, oop, did I not get it right? No, I misspelled it. Thank you. And there I get kind of the same results of that query that I typed in manually earlier. So it's a good way to filter results before you actually issue the query. We'll use how all these kind of together as we continue to build this out. On the search settings page, we also have some new options. First thing I usually recommend doing is setting up your search center. So you'll get a search center usually out of the box. It'll usually be, you'll find it under slash search. But you want to configure your site collection to actually use the search center. And you really don't need a separate search center for every site collection. You can get by with one, so you can cross site collections with it. And what this does is specify the URL that the master page uses when somebody submits a search result. So first thing I always do is click on Enable Custom Scopes here and provide that URL to the search center like I did here. Otherwise, you're using an out-of-the-box search page, and it's functional, but you can't customize it because it's just an application page. So this is a good first thing to do is go and configure your search center. Also here, you'll see the Site Collection Search drop-down mode. This corresponds to the master page, that drop-down list you see there. So you can configure how it shows up by default. Some people don't want it there. Some people do. Here's how you change it. And it has a bunch of options, which I'll show you on the next page. Here's the options. There's basically what it does is you can either show it or not show it, and then you can kind of set some defaults. So for a master page, the only ones that you probably ever would use are our show scopes dropdown and probably default to contextual scope, include contextual scope. And what they mean by contextual scope is the this site or this list. So that's what you see on those master pages. So that's how you can enable or disable it if you don't want it. So that's typically common settings that you'll use. You can also use, this has the same thing that you'll see later in when we're configuring the search center. Has the same values, so you can have that show up there as well. I mentioned creating a search center earlier. Specify that site collection search center again. You can also have contextual search use that as well. And search centers are just simple to create. You know, just go to the new site menu, pick enterprise, and then the options there. I won't do that today because creating it actually takes some time, but it's pretty simple to do. Another thing I like about search is how it makes it easier to find people. And they really improved this in SharePoint 2010 with the addition of phonetic search and the use of synonyms. So this is very important when you're in a large multinational organization or just a multinational organization in general where, you know, you might not be familiar with how names are spelled in that language. This actually helps you find things very easily. We'll show some demos of how we can do that. But what's cool about it is, you know, the nicknames. So it's smart enough to know that Robert is the same as Rob, Bob. You know, it recognizes all those nicknames, and it will find them every time. What's nice is you don't have to do any configuration. So for those of you who don't like UPS and SharePoint 2010, you know, it's actually set up for you. It just works out of the box, right? There's literally nothing you have to do. User profile synchronization seems to occur about every 24 hours is what's been quoted. Sometimes it'll be faster, sometimes it won't. So after you add those users, you know, in SharePoint Online, it will take some time for them to show up and search. So just be aware of that if you're onboarding people, right? The other thing is My Sites are pre-configured, right? So you don't have to set that up. You don't have to set up the My Site host or anything like that. It really just all out of the box works for you. And the way we actually do these queries is directly from the Search Center. You've already seen the example of the federated query that it does, like when we issued that first search that we did. But you can also go to the People tab and do queries from there. So we'll look at a couple quick examples of how we do People search. So I'm going to jump back to the root of my Search Center here. So let's jump to a different Search Center. So we'll go to People Search. And we'll see, you know, by default it's all sites, but if you click on People, which I already have, it becomes active. And we'll start doing a couple searches. So, for example, I'm going to look for myself because, you know, I might have forgotten my contact information or something like that. And the first thing it does is it brings back results. And so it shows myself, and then it also recognizes down there that, hey, this is you. This would be a good time to go update your profile. Go put some information about yourself, right? So quick, easy search, easy way to up things. You notice it also pulled back my Hotmail account as well, my Live ID. That's because in SharePoint Online, it has the ability to do what's called a partner access license, and you can share things without creating accounts for them. Just uses their Windows Live ID, and it picks them up. Let's look at some more examples, though. So, say I'm looking for, you know, our IT director. His name is Mike Adams. And, you know, I need to look up his contact information. So I'm going to type in his name as, you know, as I know him. And I get results. And what do you see there? What's unique about that? One of y'all's going to have to speak up. I know it's early. Who was at the office party last night? So what it did is it found Michael Adams, right? So it was smart enough to know that Mike and Michael, you know, Michael's his official formal name. That's how it's registered in the employee directory or whatever. And it's smart enough to find that, right? In SharePoint 2007, what would have happened? Anyone know? Nothing. You'd have no results. So this is a nice improvement. And there's some other cool stuff we can do. So say we're looking for our help desk technician. His name is Ben Lee. So I'm going to type in his name. I'm American. I don't know how to spell foreign names. So I type in his name the best as I know. And what happens? Besides, you know, the picture taking forever to come down. So his name's Vietnamese, actually. It's Ben Lay, right? But it was smart enough to take my total butchered misspelling of his name and find the results, right? Very useful. So makes it so much easier to find people. You can do this on SharePoint 2010 that you have now. You can do it online. Take advantage of it. It's better than using the gal in Exchange, right? I mean, it doesn't do that for you, right? So I always like to show off People Search because it's very, very powerful. Makes it very easy to find people, especially when you're in a big company. You can also find things based on title or department as well. So if I like wanted to, you know, find who's in accounting, right? So type in accounting, our CFO comes up, and has her title there, right, in the department she works in. So, you know, lots of ways you can take advantage of People Search. Something to think about as you go, you know, back to your company. So that's People Search. But let's start talking about customizations. So we want users to be able to find results quickly and easily. So we can make tweaks to the Search Center. And there's a bunch of little settings that you can do. So just we'll be able to go in there. I'll show you some of the cool ones. And you can, you know, take advantage of them how you see fit. It's a lot to explore. So when we're talking about customizing the Search Center, you kind of need to understand the anatomy of it and how it kind of is broken down. So, for example, there's sets of pages. And so they're kind of grouped together. So the first two are default and results. These are just standard ASPX pages in SharePoint. They come with the site template. And defaults, you know, that one with the search box on it. And results is the one that actually gives you the search results. People search works the same way. You know, search box, search results. Then there's the concept of advanced search. And we'll talk about what's included out of the box, and then you'll quickly learn that you want to write something better. So we're going to talk about what's on some of these pages and how we can customize it. So starting with on default.aspx, search box ex web part. So this is the box that provides the search. And things that you can do to customize it is adding a drop-down list like you see there. So by default, that's not turned on. So that's something you can turn on, especially as you start adding these scopes and creating all these cool ways for people to search, you know, for their documents better, right? You can customize labels and stuff like that, and you can remove the advanced search link if you don't want it. Some people do that because the advanced search box out of that comes out of the box probably causes more problems than it actually solves. Once we get to the results page, the key web part to know there is the core results web part. And this is the web part that does all the magic behind that page and has the most level of configuration. This what actually goes out, performs the query, and you can actually override it if you want and change how it's doing queries and things like that, which is kind of cool if you need to. The results itself are just configured using XSL. So if you don't like the standard, you know, list of results that way, you can turn it into a grid or something like that, just, you know, by using a little HTML and XSL. We'll in our demo, we'll see how we can add a link to that to provide some good value to users. You can also hard code a scope. So if you want everyone using this search center to always, you know, just get IT documents, you can specify a scope there. And you can also specify like a hard-coded query. So this is useful when you like customize sites and you wanted to say, all right, show me all the documents that are here or something like that. You can do that. And so the user doesn't even have to type in a query, and it'll just, you know, get those results for them. By default, it displays 10 results. You can tweak that up to about 50. That's what you get out of the box. The refinement panel, new to SharePoint 2010. Is also customizable using XSL and allows users to refine results based on some of the built-in managed properties that you have, such as author, site, and document type. It'll also pick up any managed metadata you're using, and it does a pretty good job of generating filters that you can continue to refine on results there. All that's configured via XML. Pretty easy to get started with it. The advanced search control looks like this. It's kind of big and ugly, right? But it does let you, you know, create some more advanced queries, such as like by document type or language. I find that most people don't use it very often, and they actually end up replacing it and writing their own, because it's actually very simple to do, and you'll see that in our one of our last demos for today. So, let's start by doing some customizing of our search center. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to one of our search centers. And again, here is the search box EX web part. To edit this, we click on page, right? And you click on Edit in the ribbon. And then we got to do a little bit of scrolling. Ultimately, we can start editing the web part. So by clicking Edit Web Part. Now, when you click on it, of course, it puts the properties window, you know, nowhere where you can actually see it or find it. So you have to go look for it. And it's up here at the top. So we talked about the scopes drop-down earlier. And here's where you set that. So right now, the default is do not show scopes dropdown. But, you know, maybe I wanted to actually do show the scopes dropdown. So also click show scopes dropdown, hit apply, We'll click OK to make the big ugly panel go away. And now you see we have a list of drop-downs, right? So we have a list of scopes that the users can pick before they ever search. So kind of a cool way that you can, cool thing you can add to it. Probably the most common change you'll probably make to that page. When you're done, you click Save and Close, and you're all good. Let's go ahead and go to the results page. So I'm just going to issue a query to do that. I want to find some proposals. And this looks great. But have you ever had issued a query and you see some documents that are interesting? You're like, you know, I wonder what else is in that folder, right? There's probably something else I need to look for in there. There's probably some other useful documents in that folder. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to edit that core results web part, and we're going to add a view folder link. So quick and easy way to add value to the search interface and let your users find things a little better. So what we're going to do is we're going to add a view folder link right next to this view and browser button, and the users will be able to click on that and they just have more options, right? So what we'll do, so click page, and we'll edit, again, just like we did before. We scroll down. We edit the web part. And again, we have to scroll up to the top to find what we're looking for. And they're grouped into four kind of groups here. So location properties allows you to specify a scope. We talked about hard coding it, so that's where you do that. Display properties is what we're kind of interested in. And the first thing you have to do is make sure use location visualization is unchecked. And this is kind of something we kind of inherited from SharePoint 2010. And basically, there's a default out-of-the-box way all search results look. So if we don't want to use that, we have to uncheck that, and then we can actually start customizing how we do things. We'll click on XSL Editor, and we get some great-looking XSL, right? And an awesome editor that makes it super easy to edit, right? Think that's good? Who needs Visual Studio, right? So actually, what I typically do is I grab it, right? Then I jump over, and I just, you know, paste it in an XML file. Well, that's a little better, right? We can work with that. So I know I want to put this near the view and browser link, right? So I'm going to search for view in browser, I believe. And that's where it calls a template. And let's see. Hardest part is finding it. There it is. And what we've done, and I've already done it on this particular search center, is we add a check to see if it's a document. Because we only want to really, it doesn't make sense to view folder on, you know, a list item, right? I mean, maybe it does, but for the most part, it doesn't. And what we did is I added a element, and then we added href attribute, right? And what we're doing is we're passing a value of another managed property called site name. And site name has the containing folder of whatever the item is in SharePoint 2010 and in SharePoint Online. If you're running Fast Search for SharePoint, it does not. So another trick that, you know, kind of doesn't work in Fast, oddly enough. Then all I do is, you know, add the text view folder. You know, you could actually use resources if you wanted to, you know, you should be sure it's localized. And then I close the A and the if tag. So then you just copy that, you know, you paste it. We're going to just close that, and I'm just going to jump over to this one because it's already done. And now I have a view folder link, right? So I want to see what's in here. I click on it, open a new tab. And now I see all the documents that are in the folder. So you don't have to remember all that XSL that we're doing. I already have a blog post that walks you through it step by step if you want to do it, and then there's a link at the end of the slide deck. So if that is something you're interested in doing, it's pretty easy to do, as you saw, and you can get walked through step by step. One thing I'll also point out is when you're changing that stuff, it does cache, so it might take a second, for it to show up. So keep that in mind if you're not seeing that link that you added. It'll take a minute to show up sometimes. So that's a quick, easy way to add a little value to your search center. Now we'll talk about, extending search. So this is where we actually get to write some code. We have developers in the room, I hope. Sleepy developers. I think y'all were at the party last night. So, anyone using Visual Studio 2012? RC? This is the part where y'all have to say yes. Y'all are a lot quieter than they were in America. So, we're going to use Visual Studio 2012 because why? It has a great new functionality for two things. Publishing to SharePoint Online and editing the Silverlight web parts. So with this new functionality, I literally save like 5 minutes for my demo because of the new tool set that's in 2012. So you'll see some of that in action here really shortly. What we're going to do is we're going to create a Silverlight app, and we're going to query into a web service called search.asmx. This web service, you can call it whether you're in SharePoint or whether it's a client app, whatever. The way it works is it has some input that's XML. And it's big, ugly, and a lot of XML, but ultimately all you're changing in it is one particular line for the most part. But so you'll see that here in the next slide. And basically it's got two methods, query and query EX. And basically the difference is one gives you a ADO.NET data set and one gives you XML. In our particular example, we're going to go with XML because I find it a little easier to work with. And we're going to use some linked XML to do some kind of cool things after our first application. As for the credentials it uses, when you're calling for Silverlight, it just uses the current user's credentials. So you don't have to worry about security trimming and things like that. So it will just work. Here's what the input looks like. Can y'all remember that? Yeah, all right, so someone's got it. But there's really only one particular line that you're worried about. It's that one in the middle there, query text. It has a type of string, and in this case, I'm doing a value of sales. So I want to get all the sales documents. So put in whatever you want in here. You can use any of the tricks that we used earlier, right? And that's where it goes. The rest of that is always pretty much static. There are a few things you can tweak if you want to configure, different things to come back in your result set. But for most uses, that's all you really need to worry about. The output looks like this. And as you see, you probably recognize, if you've been awake, some of the managed properties that we saw earlier, right? Title, path, right, site name. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the common managed properties you can get back out of the box. And you get about 10 to 12 or so of them, if I remember right, on a typical query. So this is what the results look like. As a developer, we have XML now. Now we can do cool stuff, right? So we're going to look at how we build this application. We're going to build it from scratch. And then I'll show you some kind of cool ways that we can actually take it a little bit further. Let's write some code. Okay, so we're back over here. We have Visual Studio 2012 RC. And I've got a number of projects I've created here. This particular one, I have an empty SharePoint project. What we're going to do is take advantage of the new Silverlight Web Part feature. And basically what this does is uses the existing Silverlight Web Part that you may have used before and does all the wiring for you. So I'm going to do add new item. And if you're familiar with this list, it's actually kind of changed a little bit, if you have noticed. The first thing, though, we're going to do Silverlight Web Part. We'll call this the Tech Ed Europe Silverlight Web Part. I'm just going to click Add, and then we get another screen here where it wants to ask us a question. So it's prompting us for whether we want to use an existing Silverlight project or create a new one. In this case, I'm going to go ahead and create a new one. I think that's fine. And so I'm going to, again, call this the Tech and Europe Silverlight. Something like that. And I am going to specifically use version 4.0 because this is the beta-ish product and I found issues with 5.0. So when it comes up, you'll see the new Silverlight designer. It takes a second. But ultimately, boom, there it is. Now we can start building an app, right? So what I want to do is I want to create a simple interface where the user could type in their query, click a button, and get results. So to do that, we're going to just add a few controls, and then we'll wire up the code. So we're going to jump over here to the toolbox. Try to. And what we're going to do is I'm going to find a text box. We'll drag that on there. Hardest part of using it is actually moving it. So there's our text box. We'll do a button, right? So the user needs something to click. And then let's do one more text box. Again, the hardest part is actually moving it. I found the designer's actually, there it is. Kind of hard to click on. So we'll make a bigger text box that we can kind of, you know, see our results in. Is that going to be a great looking app or what? Okay, so I need to name these things. So we'll call this a query text box. So we're just going through and giving names. We'll call this my search button. And we'll call this the results text box. Okay. Now, when the user clicks the button, I want to fire off a query to search and get results back. So I'm going to create an event handling method by double clicking on it. And now we can start beginning the fun. So we're going to write a little bit of code. And the first thing we need to do is get a reference to our web service. So I'm going to go to add service reference. And I already have the URL in there. Again, it's underscore VTI bin off your site collection / search.asmx. So I'm going to click on that, hit go, and hopefully in a timely manner it actually returns. Now I've already authenticated, so it didn't prompt me, but if you hadn't authenticated yet, you'll get a big web browser-based dialog box that has you prompt for credentials. So I already did it, so we don't have to wait for that because it takes some time for that to go. I'm going to call this my query service. We're going to hit OK. So now we need a couple things. We're going to be working with that big, nasty, XML. So I'm going to I need a string builder, so I'm going to get a reference to system.txt. And then I'm going to add a reference to our query service. Okay? I do realize I spelled Silverlight wrong. The SharePoint's, corrupted me. Okay. So now the user clicks the button, and we need to get a reference to the web service, construct the XML, and call it. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to do a query service SOAP client. We'll just call this a query service. So we're just using the default constructor, right? I'll make this a little bigger for y'all. So we got our query service. And now we need the string builder. And so I'll cheat because I don't want to type in all the XML. You probably don't want to watch that, right? So what we'll do is here's my string builder. Here's my string. We'll paste it in. And all we're doing, this could be called query text box, I believe, is we're creating a string builder and we're crafting that XML that we saw earlier on the slide and we're placing in the one value. In this case, I want the value of whatever the user typed, which is query text box. At this point, we need to set up an event handling method to call the web service asynchronously. So what we'll do query service dot query ex is what we were going to call. So we want the query ex completed event. Then we'll hit tab, and we get a nice new event handling method. Now at this point, all we need to do is bind the data. So what we'll do, we're going to use our results text box. Dot text equals, and then it comes in this query ex completed event args that you're seeing there. So it's e.result.nodes. Oops. And it's always in the first node, not the zero indexed node. Don't ask me why. It just is. And then we'll do it to string. So basically, we're just taking the value of the XML that's in that and dumping it to our text box. Now we just got to go back up here and make the asynchronous call itself, right? So query ex service dot query ex async. And then we pass in the value of our XML. So query XML. And we need toString, right? So, not a lot of code. I mean, it's a little bit, but pretty simple, right? So, what we're going to do is we'll see if that compiles first, right? The build succeeded. So, here's where the magic starts coming in, right? So, our TechEd SharePoint search project, this is the SharePoint project that we created earlier, has a reference to my Silverlight web part. And we're going to use a new feature in Visual Studio 2012 called Publish. And this allows us to specify a URL on a remote server, so including SharePoint Online. So when I do that, it looks like it's going to prompt me for authentication. If all goes well, I remember my password. And now it's connecting to SharePoint Online, building my package, and now it's going to publish and upload the solution to me, to my solution gallery. And it should open a web browser for me here. And there it is. So, has anyone done SharePoint Online development before? So, you saw how this process used to take, like, yes, very manual uploading. You know, you had to build a solution package, go find it, upload it manually to the solution gallery, you know, do all that. Very kind of painful process. Much, much faster. So, all we're left to do, oops, I clicked on the wrong button, is activate it. One thing I'll point out is as you're publishing new build to this, you have to go delete it manually, so that is one thing you still have to do, which is kind of unfortunate. And this happened yesterday. That's funny. So that happened in TechEd Orlando, and it's kind of interesting because it's not, you know, an issue with our code. It's something to do with the SharePoint Online instance. So, and it can't find my particular zap file. So let me show you what it should look like. So I'm going to jump over here's the one I actually used previously, and so it looks pretty similar. So what I'll do is I'll do a search. Oops. And when I issue the query, it goes out, gets me that XML back. So you're like, that's great, but you know, I thought we used Silverlight because it looks pretty or something like that, right? Okay, I get it. Does it still use it, right? So how can we take this and make it better? Let me show you. So what we can do is we can use a little link to XML, and we borrowed some controls from Telerik, and we're going to create a nice, rich, advanced search experience for the user. And so what I did here is I added all some of these managed properties we were talking about earlier, like the date, the author, and things like that. So I added all these properties together. So now I can say, you know, give me you know, used a nice little calendar control, right? And my content's a little old, so I have to go back a ways. I can say search. Get a nice little, you know, loading control. And then now I get, you know, a nice grid of results. So, kind of a totally different way to present search results to users, right? It's clickable, they can link on it, you know, has all that stuff. What's cool about this is if you want to learn, you know, how some of these queries come together, we can actually, you know, do extra things. So, like I said, give me everything greater than, you know, roughly 100K, right? If I get the zeros right. And now, it appended that, and it's, you know, continues to refine the results. So you see here, now everything's greater than 100. And what it does is it puts you, shows you what query it generated for you, and it puts it in that box so you can actually, you know, see what it's doing, right? And so if you want to experiment or something like that, you want to play with some queries, you're not sure what to do, this is a good way to do it. You can just type them in yourself. I'll show you how we did that. So I'll jump over to this project. And the first thing I had to do is we're going to be dealing with some link to XML. So in order to do that, I had to create a class that has some of the, you know, values of that XML that are in there. And so this has just all the ones that we saw before, title, path, site, name, author, things like that, right? So this is going to receive the results of the link to XML I did. We'll go over here. And what I did is, you know, we're using that same string builder, but this time I'm checking the values of each text box, so like that calendar control or that, you know, greater than equal thing like that, seeing if it has a value, and if it does, I'm appending it to the query string using that same format we've been using before, that keyword query syntax, right? So I do this for each control. There's a series of them, and then I just call the same thing, right? Calling that same big XML document, right? Same big XML input. And then when I get the results back, I need to cast it into something a little more usable that the teller control can make use of. So I could have just used a data set, but I wanted to, you know, tweak things a little bit. So what I do is I use that search result class that I created, I just showed you a second ago, and then I go through and assign each value. One thing you need to do is check for nulls, because otherwise you're going to have a bad time. So I check for nulls using .any, and basically using a shorthand syntax. If it has a value, I write it. Otherwise, I rewrite string.empty. So I go through and do all that, and then I bind it to the results rad grid view, and effectively it's done, right? So that's how simple it is really to create that. Pretty simple to do that. Let's show you one more example. Give it just a second to load. So I did the same thing with people search. So let's just get everybody in the organization. Don't do this if you have 50,000 people. So very similar thing. I go with select it, and now using, you know, something like the rad group, it has the ability to, you know, automatically load the images associated in those URLs, right? So now we actually get people's pictures. And we can scroll through and, you know, click over to their My Site. So it's a great looking people, has all their information, their contact, right? Link to their My Site, all that kind of cool stuff. So kind of a cool way that you can present people results. You see, it's really easy to, you know, kind of query doing the same type of thing. So you'll also notice there's like random, you know, users that, you know, when you query this, you'll find all sorts of hidden accounts that, you know, you didn't know about, you know, that are used for services and stuff like that. So, great way to. You have a question? Just an example of something you could use. You could just as well use jQuery or something like that, you know, if you just wanted to do script. So, just, you know, won't get into, you know, an HTML5 debate or anything like that, but it is a good, you know, example of how, you know, just. Yeah, you could have written a console application if you wanted to, right? You know, if that's what you needed. So we'll get to the last kind of section of our talk, which is about public-facing websites. So Public-facing websites is, you know, something, you know, you get this lightweight public website, but, you know, it doesn't come with a search option at all. So showing you real quick how you can go in and add search. Now, you're still going to have to go do some work on your master page. I'm not a branding guy, but hopefully you went to, you know, Randy and John's talk earlier this week, maybe, to learn all sorts of stuff about branding. But you can add that link, you know, into your custom master page, and then, you know, give the users the ability to search. So a couple things to know. You got to create a search center on your public-facing website. And then you don't have to, but you probably want to create a scope that is just scoped to the public-facing website using the URL. So by default, you get that dash web, you know, .sharepoint.com, right? And you will limit the results there, because otherwise your authenticated users will be seeing public and private results. Now, your anonymous users, you know, will still just see private results, or the public results, I should say. One thing to know, let's see, do I have it on there? Is in the demo, you can't get to, you know, the new site menu, right? By default, it's all hidden, right? So if you've worked with the public-facing site, you'll know exactly what I mean. So I'll show you what we can do. So let me jump over to my public site real quick. So here's my site. You know, you probably have one somewhere. Maybe you started with it, right? Oh, sorry. So, right, so if you created a public site, you're familiar with this, you know, default look, right? Looks great, right? Now, to get to where we can actually do some stuff to the site, we got to go to underscore layouts, / settings.aspx. And so now we can actually start doing stuff, because, right, when you went to that menu, you couldn't get to anything, right? So same kind of technique that we used before. We go to search settings. We got to specify the URL to a search center. So in this case, I created one called search center. / search center. So that will redirect all the results. So once you add that search box to your master page, that's where it'll go. Now we'll just jump over to the search center itself. And when I do a search, so I'll search for like home, I get results from the public-facing website. Now I mentioned I created a scope for that. So what I did is I specified it. I'll try it again. Edit the page. Then we'll edit the web part. Oops. And up here, I created a scope called public, and I specify it here. Yes. Right. That's true. So the only reason you create the scope is if you don't want your authenticated users to get, you know, results from the other site collection, right? So yeah, you don't have to actually do it if you don't want. So good question. So that's all there really is to it. That particular scope I have there is just pointing to the URL up there at the top. So really easy to set up. And also have links, instructions on how to do this on my blog as well, if you want to, you know, step by step. So at this point, you're probably asking, you know, can I do X with SharePoint Online? You know, that's what people's questions always are, right? So hopefully today I showed you kind of some of the things that you can do with it. But let's, you know, be realistic. What can you not do, right? We've kind of covered some of them. So the search service application is a big one, right? By not having that, we don't have access to managed properties. We can't promote results. We can't do any of that fun stuff. We can't crawl file shares, right? Can't crawl BCS, even though we do have BCS support now with, you know, the Azure stuff that they added earlier, right? But we can't crawl BCS like we can in 2010. So, unfortunately, that's not there. Fast search for SharePoint. Obviously, the features you see there, document previews, exact record counts, we don't have. And we don't have access to the traditional search object model, which is, you know, the keyword query class and things like that. It's another way to query search. You don't have access to that, so you're limited to using the web service like we did today. So, but what's in? Well, you already saw a lot of this, right? So we got Search Center. We got all these web parts that we can configure and tweak, like the refinement panel, core results, advanced search. We have an API that we can call and write custom code against, as we demonstrated today. And we can use scopes, keywords, synonyms, all that fun stuff. So there is still a lot you can really do from the site collection level when you want to configure search. Just to recap some of the stuff we covered today. So hopefully you're a little more familiar with how search works in SharePoint Online. Hopefully you'll be able to go back on Monday and write some cool keyword queries to find the documents you're looking for. You saw some quick customizations that you can do to the search interface. We wrote some code, and so now you know how to write against search.asmx. So you can do this in your own custom applications, whether you're online or not. And you know, and hopefully you can get more out of search than you did when you walked in the room, right? And that's what I hope to impart with you. So I mentioned the two links. So here they are. You can snap them or whatever real quick, or catch them from the TechEd website. These are two links to talk about how to do the public website and add the documents folder link as well. You want to have any questions? Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Oh, nice.
But it doesn't work.
Does it work? you're kind of limited, right? Because you can't touch managed properties. So until you're able to do that, you know, you're just kind of limited. And the refinement panel picks those things up okay, sort of, you know, but you don't have a lot of control over it, right? So unfortunately, this is kind of just the world we live in right now with SharePoint Online, which you can tweak, fortunately, so. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. You're right. Yep. Yeah, it would be nice to see it across the board, right? Yeah, good comment. Any other comments? Questions? Thanks for having me. Feel free to be around. Answer any other questions.